How many of you make resolutions? See, we're all older, so we've learned, right? I am making a resolution this year that I'm finally going to be able to keep. I'm tired of making resolutions that, you know, so I'm going to make a resolution that I'm not going to go on any long-term diet plan, okay? And I think I may be able to keep that one, okay? So my sermon here is on the first and last words of Jesus as recorded in the Gospels. When people write books, often the first things they say are important, and the last things that they say are important. And I thought, okay, it's the last of 2017, and in 16 hours will be the first of 2018. So I have a sermon that we're going to look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we're going to look at the first and last words of Jesus. Now, first words are special. How many know what your first words that you ever said? Your parents said, hey, this is the first word you said. Or how many remember the first words of their kids? Does anyone remember? Are we all? Joey Lynn, what do you remember, your first words or your kids? And what was it? No. It is amazing how we learn no months and years. They don't learn yes until about 25 years old, okay? So I keep a diary. Andalyn, our oldest daughter, her first words were dada, dancer, which was our cat, and dog, before mama, okay? And that's probably because my wife was always, there's dada, there's dancer, there's, you know. So, and then our second daughter, Charity, I am not kidding. My wife just delivered her. We're there. She just delivered, and Charity went, dad, dad. And just as clear as day, she knew my name from within 24 hours. Now, she forgot it for the next few months, but she knew it right then. So does anyone else remember first words?
Cookie.
Cookie?
Cookie. Something to eat. Munja.
That was your first words to your mom? Now, you see, with Rich, you can't tell if he's being serious or if he's being humorous. So you're being serious this time?
Absolutely.
Is that right? Cookie. I didn't think they had cookies back in your days.
Mud pies,
that I can believe. All right. Yeah, I'm going to get myself into trouble. All right. What were the first words of God in the Bible? The first recorded words of God? It is good. No. That's good, though. That's in the first chapter. Let there be light. What was the first words of God after he created Adam and Eve?
Oh, no.
No, he said that after Eve. After Eve. No, I know. He created Adam and then said, I think I can do a better time the next time around here. The first words after he created Adam and Eve was, be fruitful and increase in number. What were the first words of God after Adam and Eve sinned? Now you can say, oh no. Huh? Where are you? Where are you? Seeking after fallen man. So how many of you, some of you are going to be able to cheat here. How many of you have a red letter edition Bible? All right, raise your hands. Now, how many don't know what that means, a red letter edition Bible? Raise your hand. Does everyone know what that means? They can cheat. When we do this, they're going to be able to cheat because in red letters are all the words of Jesus, okay? And I'm surprised more of you have a red letter Bible than I thought. Now, let me ask you a question. So who can tell me, with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which gospel came first? Don't hear. Which gospel was written first? Does anyone know? The gospel of Mark was first. Then Matthew and Luke came close together. And then years later came the gospel of John. So let's go in that order. We're going to go with Mark, then Matthew, Luke, and John. So let's turn to the Gospel of Mark. You need your Bibles to follow this. And let's look for the first words that Jesus spoke in the Gospel of Mark. So find the Gospel of Mark. And I'll give you, it's going to be in chapter 1. Where are the first words? Starting with what verse? 15. Verse 15. All right, so I'm going to start. These are the people that with the red letter Bibles. They can cheat, okay? So I'm going to start in verse 14. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. And here are the first words of the first gospel that Jesus spoke. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. That's the first words we got recorded. The first words that all the early Christians would have read when they got the Gospel of Mark. The time is near. The time is now. The kingdom is near. Repent, turn to God, and believe the what kind of news? The good news. And I was thinking, the good news, of course, is that Jesus Christ has come to be our Savior and to die on the cross for our sins, and that we can have restored relationship with the Father and we can go to heaven. I was thinking how the world, I think, believes that it's bad news. Being a Christian is bad news, but they don't realize it's actually very good news. So the first words in Mark are repent. I need you to remember this. Repent and believe the good news. Okay, let's come to Matthew. Let's find the first words of Jesus in the book of Matthew. Now, I'll give you a clue. Chapters 1 and 2 are the Christmas story in Matthew. So there's no words of Jesus until you come to chapter 3. And where is the first words of Jesus in chapter 3? Verse 15. So I'm going to start in chapter 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. John the Baptist, that is. But John the Baptist, tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? And Jesus replied, let it be so now. Yes, I need to be baptized. Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. So the opening of Matthew is the baptism of Jesus. And his first words recorded are when he's telling John the Baptist, when John the Baptist says, whoa, you should be baptizing me. And Jesus says, no, this is the right thing to do. This is to fulfill all righteousness. I mean, this is what all believers, I'm going to set the example that it is right for a believer to be baptized, that it proclaims the gospel. And in fact, John, when you baptize me, I'm going to proclaim to everyone what the gospel is. And the gospel is that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that's heading down into the water, that he was buried, that's going under the water, and that 3 days later he rose from the dead, and that's Jesus coming up out of the water. And so right from the beginning is the truth. I'm thinking, man, if that's the first words of the gospel of Matthew, is Jesus saying, this is the right thing to do for people to be baptized, then I want to suggest to you that the right thing to do is to be baptized as a believer. And you'll note that Jesus was 30 years old when he got baptized and said, this is the right thing to do. When I got saved in college, I put off getting baptized. I just kind of was like, well, I was baptized as an infant, and so I wrestled with it for years. And then I, you know, when you study the scripture, of course, you find that baptism always followed believers, people who believed in the good news. And then they got baptized. And so I really wrestled with it. Finally, I said, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and get baptized again. And I tell you, I don't regret one moment getting baptized as a believer. In fact, I have now noticed over the 35 years that I've been pastoring that people that haven't been baptized since becoming believers, you're always wrestling with, oh, should I get baptized? Well, I got baptized, you know, in the church early on, and you're always wrestling with it. But once you follow in believer's baptism, there's like this, okay, you're at peace. It's like, I've done it the way they've done it for hundreds of years in the early church, because they didn't baptize infants for hundreds of years. That came later with superstition and people thinking if their babies weren't baptized and they died, they wouldn't make it to heaven. There's a peace that comes over you when you get baptized. And I don't want to hear, oh, I'm too old. I'm an adult. Jesus was 30 years old. Okay, let's come to Luke. First words of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. Now, this is going to be an unusual one. So, chapter 1 is the Christmas story again. But chapter 2, and these words are interesting. So where are the first words of Jesus in the book of Luke? Luke chapter 2, verse 49. All right, I'm going to start in 41. And these are the only recorded words of Jesus between his birth and 30 years old when he began ministry. We only have like one verse, one or two verses of anything that Jesus said from birth to 30 years old, and it's right here. So verse 41, every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. So I'm sure the questions he was asking, they couldn't really answer. And then he would answer the questions, and they were amazed at his teaching and his knowledge. When his parents, verse 48, when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." And here are the only words of Jesus from 0 to 30. "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" Didn't you know let me give you the updated version. Didn't you know I'd have to be at church? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? Questioning and learning and teaching and worshiping God. You didn't have to search for me, Mary and Joseph, at the bars. You didn't have to search for me at Kennywood. You didn't have to search for me at my friends' homes. Didn't you know I'd be in the house of God? I'd be in my father's presence. So that gets me thinking. And where was the house of God? What city? Jerusalem. And where's he at? He's at the temple in Jerusalem. I want you to remember that. He's at the temple in Jerusalem, and he's saying to his parents, "Didn't you know I'd be in church? Didn't you know this is where I would be? I love the Lord." And so that's the Gospel of Luke. Let's come to the Gospel of John. And let's look for the first words of Jesus in the Gospel of John. And it's in chapter 1. And it's kind of broken up a little bit, but it's when Jesus begins to call his first disciples. So I'm going to start in verse 35 of John chapter 1. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. This is John the Baptist. The next day, John the Baptist was there again with two of his disciples. Now, we know that the two disciples was John the Apostle and Andrew, the brother of Peter, okay? When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples, John the Apostle, who wrote this book, and Andrew, heard him say this, they what? What did they do? They followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, and here's the first words in the Gospel of John, this section here, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And Jesus goes, "Come," he replied. "You come follow me, and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent the day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ. Then he brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You," Jesus says to Peter, "you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, what? "Follow me." So the first words in the Gospel of John are first the two, first John and Andrew, "Follow me. You can come with me, follow me." And then he meets Peter, then he meets Philip, and he's, follow me, come after me. Okay, so now we got the review. What were the first words of Jesus and Mark? Repent and believe the good news. Repent and believe the good news. What was the first words in Matthew? What were they about? Getting baptized. Getting baptized. Jesus says, "Yes, you're going to baptize me. I'm setting the example. It's the right thing to do." To get baptized. What were the first words in Luke? "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house at the temple in Jerusalem?" And then what are the first words of Jesus and John? "Follow me. Follow me." All right. We'll see if you can remember that. Now, last words are important too. Last words. In fact, I have some examples here. What president is on the $100,000 bill? And by the way, there are a few of these bills in circulation. It's hard to believe. I know some of you may have these. So what president is on the $100,000 bill? Woodrow Wilson. And the last words of Woodrow Wilson was, these are his last words. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." And then he passed away. The last words of John Wesley was, "And to think God is with us. Farewell, farewell." And off to glory he went. So I have this book. I didn't bring it in. It's in my office. It's the Dying Testimonies of Saved and Unsaved. The book that I have is over 130 years old. When I open, you know I love antiques. This is one of my favorite antique books. People want to borrow it because it's very hard to find a copy of this book. But you have to turn the pages like really gentle because they will just break, like disintegrate. But this book is so amazing. It records the last words of hundreds of people and their last testimonies before they die, of the saved and the unsaved. And the people that are saved, it's just amazing. Just, you know, seeing Jesus and glory. And I actually cannot read to you the dying testimonies of the lost, because they are so horrible and so scary that anyone under 40 years old may faint, okay? But it's like, if you don't read this book and like become a believer, I don't know what would. Here's Dwight L. Moody. Dwight L. Moody awoke from sleep shortly before he died and said, "Earth recedes, heaven opens before me. If this is death, it is sweet. There is no valley here. God is calling me and I must go." And Moody's son said, "No, no, father, you're dreaming." And Moody replied, "I am not dreaming. I've been within the gates. This is my triumph. This is my coronation day. It is glorious." And then he went home to be with the Lord. This is Voltaire. He was very smart, wrote 2,000 books during his lifetime. I'm like, wow, 2,000 books. And he loved to make fun of Christianity and kind of work over Christians. And he was very successful at working over the church, who did not know their Bible. It's funny, like reading how he would work over the church, it was like, you could answer him. All you had to do was know your Bible. By the way, Voltaire drank, on average, 50 cups of caffeinated coffee a day. On his low day, he drank 40. On the high days, he drank 70 cups of coffee. He believed that caffeine stimulated his mind to be able to write the 2,000 books that he wrote. Now, I get the coffee thing, but I'm like, how much do you have to go to the bathroom when you are drinking that much coffee? They were small cups, okay. These are his last words. These are his last words. "I'm abandoned by God and man. I shall go to hell. O Christ, O Jesus Christ." You know, sometimes when people are really fighting against God, they're really looking for someone to answer them. And that's why it's sad when I'm reading, when he's talking to the churchmen who don't know their Bible, it's sickening that they can't answer his questions. So let's look now at the last words of Jesus in each of the Gospels. So come to Mark. That's how we started. And unfortunately, there's some controversy over the last chapter in Mark, but I turn to chapter 16, and I'm just going to read one verse. And I'll let you wrestle with the controversy, but I just want to read one verse in verse 15. So Mark chapter 16, verse 15. He said to them, said to his apostles, "Go into all the world and" what? "Preach the" gospel. Does it say gospel? Okay, gospel. Which? Good news. Good news to all creation. So let's stop here. So in Mark, how did the gospel of Mark start? Repent and believe the good news. How does the gospel of Mark end? Jesus saying now to all of his followers, to the apostles, his disciples, "Now you go and preach the good news to all creation." Mark is like, this is what's on Mark's mind. He starts with, this is the most important thing. Preach to people the good news that Jesus is our Savior, and ends with Jesus saying to everyone else, "You go and preach the good news to everyone." All right, let's come to Matthew chapter 28, the last words of Jesus in Matthew. Matthew 28. And I'm going to start in verse 16. Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain. This is after Jesus rose from the dead, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, I want you to go and make disciples of all nations," which means go preach the good news. "And then when they get saved, I want you to baptize them in the name of" what? "The Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'll be with you always to the very end of the age." How did the Gospel of Matthew start? What did Matthew say? You know what? My very first story when Jesus speaks is important for everyone to grasp. What was that? When Jesus gets baptized. And John says, "Oh no, we shouldn't baptize you." And Jesus goes, "Oh yeah, oh yeah. This is the right thing to do. This is to fulfill all righteousness." This is, and how does Matthew end? With Jesus now saying to all his disciples, "When you go out and you lead people to Jesus, you make sure you baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Are you getting a little bit of a first and last words? Okay. So let's come to Luke. Gospel of Luke. So let's see, last chapter of Luke, verse is chapter 24. And I'm going to start in verse 45. This is after the resurrection. Everyone's there? Luke 24, verse 45. "Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures." You cannot understand the scriptures unless Jesus opens your mind to understand them. That is why it is very difficult for lost people. It's impossible for lost people to actually understand the Word of God unless their mind is opened by the Holy Spirit. He told them, verse 46, he told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city." What city is that? Jerusalem. When we hear the first words of Jesus in the beginning of Luke, where is Jesus? He's in Jerusalem at the temple, right? So here we are. We're ending the book of Luke, and we're back in Jerusalem again. And he's saying, "Hey, you wait in Jerusalem until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually, what's it say? At the temple, praising God. So the book of Luke opens up with Jesus at the temple in Jerusalem, saying to his parents, "Where did you expect me to be? But in the house of God, praising and learning about God in the temple." And how does the Gospel of Luke end? The apostles are all now in Jerusalem, waiting for the Holy Spirit at the temple, continually praising God. Maybe that shows the importance of church, huh? John, last chapter in John. John chapter 21. So let me see here. He's resurrected from the dead. He feeds them a nice breakfast. So I'm going to start in verse 20. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. That's John, the apostle. Okay? This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him? What about John?" And here are the last words recorded for us in the Gospel of John from Jesus. Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must what? Follow me." And that's the last words of Jesus. You must follow me. Peter, it doesn't matter. Don't be worried about what the other disciples, what's going to happen to them, what are they going to do. Don't be worried about other church members. Don't be worried about Pastor Joe or Robin or Pastor Gary. You must follow me. By the way, how did the Gospel of John start? With Jesus calling them to follow him. And now at the end, he's telling Peter, here's the most important thing for you to remember, Peter. Don't get your eyes on other men. It doesn't matter what I do with John. You follow me. So for 2018, I think it's actually the same thing, that truth that the church has been following for years. But it's the same thing that should happen in 2018. Number one, we should be a church that tells people they need to repent and believe the good news. Repent and believe the good news. That's what Mark says. That's what Mark writes down. That's the most important thing. His people need to get saved. And then Jesus tells all the disciples, you go and preach to everyone that they need to repent and the good news. The second most important thing in 2018 is to be baptized. Jesus set the example himself. You can't get to heaven and go, well, you didn't do it, Jesus. And Jesus go, oh, yeah, yes, I did. Oh, I didn't need to get baptized, but I did it because I want you to be able to follow me exactly everything I do, you can do. And so I got baptized. Maybe 2018 is the year for some of you that have become believers and you haven't done believer's baptism. Believe me, you won't regret it. I have never met a Christian who regretted getting baptized as a Christian. I've met tons of Christians who have regretted not getting baptized as a believer. So 2018 may be the year that you go, you know what? If Jesus did it, if that's the pattern that's all through the Bible, it's time I do it too. And then in Luke, the most important thing is Jesus is at the house of God, at the temple, and he's learning and he's teaching and he's asking questions and they're worshiping. And it ends with the apostles are daily in the temple praising God and worshiping. So 2018 may be the year that you make a commitment, unless you are sick in the hospital, that 2018, every Sunday, you're going to be in the house of God. You're going to be worshiping the Lord. You're going to be praising him. You're going to be learning, asking questions, hearing teaching, and being with the believers in God's house. And then 2018, according to the Gospel of John, the most important thing there is Jesus saying, you know, that's all good. You got saved, you got baptized, and you go to church, but there's one more thing. You need to follow me. You need to be in your Bible. You need to be seeing how I lived and my teachings. You need to follow. Oh, don't worry about the hypocrites. Don't worry about the other Christians. You follow me. Don't follow Pastor Toomey. Don't follow some elder. Follow me. Follow Jesus in your life. That is my prayer for all of you for 2018. So let's look to the Lord. Father, may you bless 2018 in all of our spiritual lives. Help us to share the good news. Help us to celebrate when people get baptized and publicly show the gospel, their surrender to Jesus. And Lord, may the house of God be a place of praise and worship and teaching, and where we can come and ask questions and where we can hear your answers and we can be amazed. And Lord, may 2018, may all of us follow you closer and closer. May we hide your word in our hearts, that we may not sin against you. May your word be a light for our path, a lamp for our way, to follow close behind you. And bless us, we pray in your name. Amen.